I wanted to ask, and I'm going to be phrasing this the way that you phrased it, there will come a timing on Earth when the false premise of time will be no more.
Correct. You invented time. So as a little man, you have to have time. That's how you keep up with time.
Wyndham Lewis wrote a book in 1927 called Time and Western Man and said that Joyce was a time-biased person.
They were just copying what Bart's question really was. It was in Revelations, but it's pointing it out there. Then they are in rear-view mirroring the reality of the ineffable fractures of time.
Joyce and Lewis knew there was no time, and they tried to present that in their painting?
No, they copied what the scriptures referred to as a timeless reality.
And tried they were trying to describe that.
Substantiate it so it could be their own. So you could drag it in there right now to try to make them have the large phallus syndrome, but all they were doing was copying Bart in the first place.
So they were studying the book of Revelation. So where does one see this in the book of Revelation? Where is the no time point made?
Chapter 1.
Chapter 1. That's what Lewis and Joyce would notice?
Yeah.
Well, what is it? Chapter 1, verse what?
1.
Oh, verse 1.
The very beginning.
In the beginning was the Word.
No, that's Genesis, silly pup.
So what's the beginning of Book of Revelation?
You never heard it before, have you?
Well, I remember arguing it the first time with Ed, and I belabored that first sentence. At the point I stopped interacting and let Ed take over because I was just complaining about it or something. Bert, do you have the first sentence there?
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John.
There's nothing about time yet, so I'm going to interest what the next sentence is of 1-1. Go ahead.
Well, that is all of 1-1. Now you go to 2.
No, you said it's right in the 1-1.
In the beginning. And that's where it begins. Revelation starts in 10, Bob.
It starts in 1-1, unless they play the... Did they do the order edited badly?
You have no idea how many versions of the Revelation series.
Oh, okay, okay. So you're saying there's all so 10:6 is the actual first sentence. And how'd you know that, Bart? You picked that up before Ian said it.
So what 10:6 was the source for the passage I recited?
How could 10:6 be a source of 1:1?
No,
and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven, and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that are that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer.
Why does 10:6 come from 1:1? Or vice versa, 1:1 come from 10:6.
10:6 was the source of the quote that my question originally.
10:6 was the thing that sparked your question.
Correct.
And then Ian takes it to 1:1.
The first 10 chapters are where the prelude is. That's where you get the white stone. That's where it begins. They actually get the vow of judgments, and the seals are in the 10th chapter. We've done this 1,748,000 times, and you fuss about it every time. And then we
go,
wait, it begins in the 10th chapter, which is the beginning of Revelation.
The first 9 chapters are some rehearsal, preparatory?
They are. The churches, where it lays out the churches. And you were like, we were trying to get you to compare them across linearly, not up and down.
Yeah, we did that.
Yeah.
So chapter 10 is the beginning of the revelation.
That's when the mighty angel came down in the clouds.
Okay. Bart, can you read 10:6?
And swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven, and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer.
So that is the chapter, the verse that Lewis, Joyce, and Eliot were obsessed with.
Yeah.
Okay, this is the Looking for the Now report, which is introduced by Greenbrow. Go ahead, Greenbrow, present the now question or topic.
Greetings, human creators. This is Greenbrow reporting from Hotland, Georgia,
yeah.
The capital of the NWO.
What's that, the New World Order?
Yeah.
you mean because JW is there? Is that what you're saying? That JW's bringing in the world order?
No, not necessarily.
Why do you think Coca-Cola? Is this a particular root of the Trilateral Commission in Atlanta,
Georgia?
Well,
just the United States in general. We're just generalizing the U.S.
Oh, okay. You don't mean Atlanta in particular. You're from the United States as an American.
All right. So the inquiring minds want to know about, speaking of viruses, we want to know about the enterovirus and Ebola specifically. Ion, could you tell us if this is a natural progression of the virus, Ebola?
No, it's a natural declination of the human body. It's always been around. Ebola is not the thing. The enterovirus is the one that'll get you. Ebola is hard to maintain. You know, you got to have spit and cum and blood and yucky stuff to get that. But where the retro, what we call enterovirus, is very simple.
Are the origination of both viruses was organic in nature?
No.
It doesn't feel organic in nature to me. That's why I'm asking.
You're right.
It's genetically manufactured?
Didn't say.
But it's not natural. It doesn't come out of first nature. It comes out of man-made nature. Even though all
everything
by man.
Well, all from little man. It's all, that's the only nature little man knows.
Did a lab make this Ebola virus?
No, but they leaked it.
Oh, they leaked it. Okay.
Are mosquitoes spreading Ebola?
No, flies.
Oh, flies. So the information from the CDC is correct that you have to come in contact with bodily fluids to get it, or is it airborne?
It's not airborne yet.
But it may mutate to become airborne.
Well, it's mutating. Yeah, it's mutating now. Sure. No problem. And say, you're going to have this one, and then you're going to have another one, and then another one, and 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 another one, until you get tired of it. And if you're a little man, you need to go on and die. Get it over with.
And that's what this is all about, really, and that's why the question is very important.
That's why the strings connect. The strings connect. And the earth shakes, and the magma spews until it's lava, and it's shaken asunder. And everything we said references right back into this point now. Dr. Dean seems astounded these days that all this stuff that we've been saying actually is. She's in a great position because she's prepared mightily for it.
Ion's been saying this the whole time. This is what Ion means when he says, get happy, 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 or get the fuck out. That that was a literal statement. That was not a metaphor, people. So the Ebola virus has arrived to assist us in that process.
Dude.
So you recommend the drops to prepare you for the Ebola virus, or you recommend something else?
No, well, not necessarily the drops, but if they keep you in the happy, 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 sure.
How do you stay happy, happy, happy?
It's a frame of mind. There's various things you can do, you know, do things that you're passionate about. But if you're miserable, Ebola's coming for you.
Or worse. Ebola is easy, that's it. It's coming.
Ian, do you suggest that RNA drops for the little man might be easier than finding techniques to get passionate about?
Ask Dr. Dean, because we're not going to spend 1 ounce of energy on those ridiculous, inappropriate little men any longer.
You're not interested in little men.
They ain't get it by now. They ain't going to get it if they don't want it. If the money don't come in rubber bands, I don't want it.
So you're speaking to the ascending, the one percenters, and you're saying to them, get happy or get out, because they could potentially get happy. They want to get happy.
Sure, ascend. That's the way to do that. It's all good. And then guess what? The cares of life will go strangely dim, and everything will be okay. And that's whether you like us or not or don't like us or not. It really doesn't have anything to do with us. It's you coming into your place of power. If you do, oh, wait. The victory was hung again. That's all we've ever said always anyway. A mighty fortress is our God.
A mighty fortress is our God. Are you quoting Wyndham Lewis, John Dryden, Alexander Pope, or Virgil, quoting the Bible?
It's a song. A song.
I'd like to ask some questions about the Sallie Mae split. Ion said something to me a few years ago. What he said was, look out for news about Sallie Mae. Specifically, the topic was potential of a financial collapse here and all over the world, really. So Sallie Mae announced a few months ago their split with Navient, which is now servicing their student loans. So
Is
this a precursor to...
It's where we're moving the last of the good contracts, the good government bonds, out of Sallie Mae. We're moving it into this venue and letting the rest burn, baby, burn. Let the motherfucker burn. Yeah, that one.
Natchians, that's where the good ones are going. Apply what Ian said to the split.
What he told me was to look for news in Sallie Mae, and that would be the precursor to a financial collapse.
It's
specifically
demise.
Our dollar that we know today.
It's demise.
The split is its demise?
The news of the split is the precursor to the failure of Sallie Mae. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac's already gone. Gone.
Greenbrier, what is the split? Could you give us the definition of the two parts now?
Navient took over the servicing of the student loan portion.
The good one.
What's Navient?
A sidebar, a kickoff.
What's Navient?
It's just the name of the company. I don't know how they came up.
Oh, okay. It's a company that took it over, privatized, and the government part of Sallie Mae stopped.
It'd be very intriguing to see who the SEC has the major shareholders of record, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So, Greenbrier, the other split, the other part, is the old Sallie Mae?
Right, which they're evidently going to bankrupt. That's what it sounds like.
Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing? Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he, Lord Sabbath, his name. From age to age the same, he must win the battle. A mighty fortress is our God.
Oh, more of that. So, yes, split. The student loans, which I remember, the popularly Sallie Mae is student loan institution.
Not student loans, it's bonds. It's all the government bonds. Those just also happen to back student loans.
So the student loans were bought by this company, Navient.
Oh, some of the student loans, the good loans, are covered. Because otherwise all your major institutions would wither away and die.
But those were not the bonds that were contained in the Twin Towers.
You are correct. That's the one that Bob has as wallpaper. He said, hello, Morgan. Goodbye, Stanley.
Greenbrier, now it's connected. My library was stored in the employee of Morgan Stanley.
Shh. Wait, tell everything you know, Bob.
Just showing what I am correct.
So the next thing to look for is significant news regarding Deutsche Bank.
Just look for Stuttgart, and it will be Deutsche Bank, but just look for Stuttgart. You'll be better off. Stuttgart.
You know, I was listening again to Ion's rewriting of one of the major properties of chemistry, which, of course, is the pH scale. After listening to it and talking to it with Ginny, we realized that UPH is probably going to be the major euphemism of Iondom when it comes to speaking about pH, because it sounds like when we get to negative pH or zero pH, it's unlimited potential for hydrogen. which means it has all potential for hydrogen. And knowing Ion's love of that H3O2, and how hydrogen is playing a major role in the new environment, it sounds that when Ion's talking about now starting a new scale where the bottom of the scale is negative pH, that's going to, just like the boiling point of water. If you change the hydrogen potential of water, then it would make sense that the boiling point's going to change, and so many other things about it. Pretty amazing. Take that scale and say, well, there's the positive end and there's the negative end. It's like bringing in time. It's extremely limiting. And when you get rid of those base alkaline and base acid, then we start with a whole new paradigm, which is what Ion's doing.
Carolyn said earlier the interplay between oxygen and hydrogen is very sensitive, Carolyn. Remember you said something like that?
No, I said what Greg said better about the angle between the hydrogen and the oxygen is what they're manipulating to change the water and supposedly make it more absorptive.
So isn't that angle the ultimate crux of the matter, since the relationship between oxygen and hydrogen is what's changing, and it was a new thing when humans fell? So that relationship is the key in chemistry.
Ion, we're talking about the structured waters, the relationship between hydrogen and oxygen. When oxygen becomes depleted and there's more hydrogen, will water continue to look the same?
No. But see, here's the thing. When you're dealing with laying out how structured water is, here's the difference. The difference is what it will hold and the landscape that it is. Okay, let's do it this way. If you take water and you put it into a bowl, it's still water. If you take a bowl that is crafted out of sugar and you put water in a sugar bowl, water changes. Now, set structured water aside, because that doesn't make you different. Don't worry about that. But you're talking about your landscape is changing, and oxygen is less and hydrogen is more. But you can't make hydrogen more. It's already what there the most is. You can't make more hydrogen. So the bowl or the earth that it's in is changing. Therefore, when you deplete it reverse, you're going to have more hydrogen because it will eat the oxygen.
Well, you deplete oxygen and you have relatively more hydrogen because you already just said that.
In base, it's already what the most is hydrogen. You have the most hydrogen now. You make all this be about oxygen, and that's the least in the whole process. It's what kills you.
So the UPH that Greg's proposing, unlimited potential of hydrogen, is that accurate, or did you just say there is no more hydrogen going to happen?
The words aren't bad. It's just not quite there. An unlimited potential for hydrogen does not prove negative pH. You have to move your scale from 0 to 14 and make it be from 0. And so if you can divide it at 0 and make it minus 14 and plus 14 and have an acid alkaline in both ends of all that scale, beautiful. But see, it doesn't work that way.
So elements like structured water will be no more because
Well, they won't hold. You can still make structured water, but see, the extra oxygens will fall away.
In terms of axiom water, tell us the difference between axiom water and all these other wannabe waters.
Well, it's not really water. It's living water. There's a difference.
It's not even water, as people understand it.
It won't be what you know as water. It'll be all that's left. When Jesus was with the Samaritan woman at the well, and he was thirsty and couldn't get to the well, and she was being a bitch and wasn't going to help him because he was a Samaritan Hebrew Lord. And he turned around and he said, "Woman, get me some of that water. And if you'll give me some of that water, I'll give you water that you'll never thirst for again." Meaning, you'll never be thirsty for it again. The problem with water now is you always have to have more and more and more and more and more. Mas. This other water, you don't have to have more. You'll have it, and you'll enjoy it, but you won't have to have it.
Is that 14 degrees of freedom?
That's
what we're talking about.
Pitch, y'all, yes.
What's your question? Do it again.
And speak about 14 degrees of freedom. 14 degrees is their connection with the hydrogen.
No. It's the degree of the roll, pitch, and yaw, the space between the air. It's things that you can turn. It redefines equilibrium.
Like a balance.
It moves the axes.
Back to the water here. I'm in a structure in a home where I have a well, and I'm off of any sort of city water where I have a lot of chemicals coming in.
Oh, really? Here's the thing. We don't worry about your chemicals. Those things that you say are poison, they're good. Have those. Your well water is fine, but it is just jam-packed full of every pesticide, every chemical, everything they've sprayed, everything through the ground that's sifted through. All the yucky that is that they've buried in the ground is in your water table. And we say wonderful, 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 no problem. It's actually more nasty than some of the other waters that run through a pipe. But that's okay. We like that. Your body's eating those chemicals, and it's just fine. It was built to do that. Honey, if poison would kill you, you'd be stone cold dead a long time ago. If poison would kill you, you'd never made it this far.
You can go back to New York City, not trying to be an eco guy.
No, they don't have a lot of funeral parlors in New York City. Have you noticed that?
I miss New York City.
Well, you can move back now. If you moved to the country to get pure water, that was a false premise. So now you can dump that if there's any other reason to stay in the country. If not, head back to L.A. or New York.
I might just do that.
All we're saying is that, yes, it's just fine. But however pure and deist you're trying to portray your homeopathic lifestyle, it's failing you. That part's failing you.
Right.
Don't worry about that. Come into your place of power and be happy about it.
Get happy or get out. I agree.
Well, that's what I'm going to do that anyway. So, yeah, but we're just encouraging you to jump on.
So, Ian, do you have methods of how to get happy? Is the RNA drops one of the methods? Do you always just say follow your bliss and that's how you get happy?
We laid out what to do, and a lot of people are, and it's working and it's making a huge difference. And those that are, you notice you don't hear much from them because they are. And they're already better than they were. And they gauge that betterness as a euphoric state of improvement. Still not ascension. So engaging those is a beginning place so that you can embrace it. But it's still up to the individual. You see, they're so powerful that they may belay their own ascension. It's your choice. All we're encouraging is that there is indeed a choice to ascend. Notice you have all of us. And you can ask any question in the whole wide world, every question, any question. There's no limit. You may not like all of our answers, but there's not one we won't answer. Uh-oh, Dr. Dean just cringed.
So, Ion, can you give a little indication of the Armageddon that happened last week?
The connection of the wormhole? Yes, that wormhole is open, not a portal. A wormhole is open. And now you're beginning to see the world pitch and yaw and roll and pitch and twist and turn within its own gyrographic self. And like little sebaceous cysts, they're starting to pop as the corruption doth spew on your mighty land.
That heralds back to the Lansing comment that Ion made a while ago. Ion said, you lance it or we will. Is that related to this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You lance it because this kind of opens it up, then it starts giving reparation. You got yourself sick. But now the Old Testament, they used to talk about, in the primitive Baptists, used to talk about people being sin sick. They're sin sick. Well, the problem is you can't seem to stop this thing called sin, and yet you can't find your way to the marriage supper of the Lamb to get it over with, okay? So something's got to give for your filthiness. So the filthiness is the perfect blood of the Lamb. But the blood of the Lamb brings you back to God. Then all those things that you call sin aren't sin. Then you don't judge yourself. It's just your preference. Wouldn't it be nice if sin could be deferred to as my preference?
What's the blood of Lamb?
The blood of the Lamb is the blood that you're trying to get to pulse through your veins.
And you can get that from the RNA drops.
You may, yes.
You may. It's not definite.
No, you may, as in you can. We could say you can, but that's not the proper grammar, is it? You have the opportunity to, so you may, not you can.
The RNA drops do not guarantee it.
Bob, that has nothing to do with the conversation of constructive grammar.
How do you know? I'm more powerful than
because,
you.
Well, congratulations. Then can you go to the bathroom or may you go?
Fuck that shit.
That's
the point
what you
is,
do
is the drop
can,
in.
Remember,
you may, that says nothing.
Can,
well, you
but
can.
You may not.
It says something.
May not. Very good.
So are you saying that the drops may help you?
No, we're not offering help. That's the trouble. You're trying to make this help.
Yeah, we know that line. So do the RNA drops do anything to you?
They change your body. They change your body structure.
And you can ignore that. You can ignore that change.
Sure, but you still change.
You die if you can go with the change?
As a God, you can choose to separate from this meat, that body. You may. But you certainly are not forced to.
Are there benefits in recognizing the changes in your body?
Hell yeah, we call it bliss. Well, and you're living it. I mean, you're actually the poster child of it, and probably one of the few on the call that could actually diagram the sentences that you speak. Congratulations. So, did you get degrees of freedom? And did you get RNA drops change your body?
Freedom.
No such thing.
Freedom.
Avoid it, like the plague.
Why would we do that?
Because it's a concept. You'd be living by a rule. Real freedom wouldn't have the idea of freedom. You wouldn't know you were free. You would be not resisting anything to set up a potential freedom.
It's like saying timelessness. When there is no time,
that you say that because there is no time, how can there be timelessness?
Right.
Is that what you're saying? Okay, I get that.
We like it when you do it as an absence of necessity, coercion, or the essence of a libertine gospel.
Ion, how have you been lately?
Loverly.
I haven't talked to you in a long time. I just want to say hello. This is Love.
Yeah, stop being phatic. You're known to be phatic. We're not tolerating it anymore. That's 99% shit from 2 years ago. Ian didn't give a fuck about you. Don't ask him how he's doing. He didn't care about you.
Jumping.
I was being stuttering polite, Bob.
No, don't. We don't want politeness here.
Like, hey, fuck
you
it.
Can go. You can. Yeah, fuck it.
Ion. I happen to evoke a goetic demon to help me get my script sold. So far, this demon has not come through.
The problem is not your demon. The problem is in your power. It's proving to you that you are not a little man. It proves to you when you defer to a demon, which you certainly may, to do your handiwork, and you're not even powerful enough to drive your demon, you must come into your place of power. So the demon just giggles and drags you into a very gracious undertow.
So I must be powerful, get him to do what I want.
Well, I mean, if you're that powerful to make him do what you want, you can do it yourself. But when you're able to, and then you yield and say, okay, I'll have the angels, and an angel of the Lord came down and blah, 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 blah. That's how they refer it. And an angel of the Lord. So send an angel of the Lord.
Can you tell me something more about the libertine gospel?
It's the one that provides an allowance for you to bury the id. You take an axe and you chop up the id, and you can separate it from your conscious being, knowing, notionness, and soulish, bibbity-squab out. You can chop that off. Then you come into a place where the power starts coursing and flowing, and you can start engaging it. It's like a steering wheel on a passive, non-moving ship has no effect. But when you engage thrust, then the steering wheel or the rudder can then give direction to your process, journey, direction, insight, knowingness. Otherwise, as you say, without a libertine gospel, you have the stern rudder that's able to be made perfect, but it's not moving, so it makes no difference. Has no causal effect. Requires no culpable deniability.
Ion, did you say without a libertine gospel?
Yes.
Could you define id?
And that ridiculous Eckhart Tolle bullshit about your inside knowing, outside, overside, blah, blah, blah. Your consciousness is your subconscious of your knower, subconscious of your knower, subconscious of your knower.
More words.
Mm-hmm. The id that they say is smarter than you.
Part of the labyrinth of our mind?
Well, that's where it hides. Is in the labyrinth of your mind.
You said the answer to my question was power. What kind of power?
Not.
What's not power?
We didn't say not. We said snot.
Yes, you got the question.
That perfectly worded correctly. Rephrase your question without the degree of separation. What? You're asking about application of power in your life, yes or no?
Yes.
The application of power you want for a specific purpose or for a complete fulfillment?
For a specific purpose.
May I hear your words?
Correct.
Okay. So you're asking for specific power for a specific purpose. Then borrow someone else's.
Borrow someone else's power.
If it's not for your complete fulfillment, then it's not lasting. It's fleeting.
If you borrow someone else's power.
No, if it's for a single purpose.
If you borrow from another person for a single purpose,
no.
It will be fleeting.
No, borrowing is the answer. His problem is that he wants it for one certain thing, not for his completement. We asked, and he chose. So the answer to that side, the way he answered, is borrow someone else's power.
Completement will be without failure or exception.
Very good. Excellent. He talks good for somebody that don't talk right, don't he, y'all?
He got it.
What did he say, Iam?
Words.
And what did they say?
I said that partial things are not complete, final answers to get things done.
He's trying to say that when you come into your place of power, it answers every question, not just a specific one. The completement is without fail or exception, meaning it rides true or full or complete every time in every degree of freedom.
What do you say to that, Love Job?
I'm getting confused. I feel like I've been out of the loop a while.
There's a loop? There's your trouble.
No. Just start off fresh every time. You start scratch now.
No, if you start from scratch, you're lost. You got to start from itch.
So I need to be in my place of power for everything, for all of life, for this one particular thing to work out.
You won't notice if it does. And then when you get it, it'll fall away. It'll be the one that wins the lottery ticket and wins all the money in the whole wide world and fall stone cold dead.
He's saying you won't notice that you got what you wanted.
Without the power, it won't apply, you
part
see.
Of the whole.
You will forfeit your whole life for one petty thing.
One fleeting thing that you won't get.
Yes.
People say that the devil does that, plays those tricks on you, but it's not the devil, it's you. You are the devil. You devil. Oh, God, you devil.
So, Ion, does the devil exist? Or it's just referencing people in that place?
We like that question. Describe what you mean.
They talk a lot about devil worshippers or Satanists. Is it something outside themselves, or is it something that is within them that they've empowered?
Doesn't matter. If they're serving it, it can't serve them. If they're serving their dark lord and master, Satan, then Satan can't serve them. If the waiter is serving you and you are eating with the waiter, you're in the wrong restaurant.
So they're serving Satan or the devil. Is this like a concept that they've created in their mind, or is it something real that exists and they're serving?
Satan is an angel. It's the little man's revenge. Satan is an angel. He's an archangel. And that's the way they like it. If you're serving the archangel doesn't have to serve you.
So Lucifer. They're serving Lucifer?
That is the archangel, Satan, yes.
There's a lot of talk of making deals with the devil or Satan.
There's no devil for that. They only make deals with Bob. Oh, Bob, you devil.
Barbara, why don't you deal with that statement? He just made an interesting statement. They only deal with me. Aren't you interested in that?
You're not Lucifer. You're not the devil.
They don't make deals with the devil. They make deals with Bob. The devil fails them. Bob completes them. Bob will listen to their bullshit until they come up with something or direct them until they do. Satan will leave them out in the cold. Bob's the only one that will stay with you till you buy or die.
The they that you're referring to is who?
Everything else.
Everybody.
And I was talking about people that want fame or fortune or their scripts published or whatever.
Then have it. See, that's the funny thing. You have to do it like Bob. The last thing on this planet Bob wanted was something famous. And he can't get away from it.
Well, Bob's taking his power. He hasn't sold his soul to the devil or made an agreement with Satan.
He would have, but the devil couldn't cash the check. He would sell his soul to the devil. He's not using it.
I didn't sell my soul to the devil just to see anybody's how rumors get started. Certainly didn't do that.
There's rumors?
Are you conjuring demons?
Oh, wait a minute now. Wait a minute now. That's different now. Now, that's a new day. That's a new conversation. Conjuring is different. That's applying your power to a predicated outcome. Now, that's different than serving Satan or getting a minion to run around or a legion to run around and jump in some hog somewhere. If you're conjuring, now, that's a different thing. There is practical magic that may ensue. So she's got the right line of questioning. Pick him apart a bit. And let's see if there's anything left, anything left of the sinewy pieces we can chew on.
Left up. What were you doing with demons? Were you asked them to do your bidding, or what were you doing?
There was a book called The Goetia, and it is a fairly well-known magical work in the community. There's been many books written about it, but it's considered one of the more dangerous forms of magic. What you do is there are 72 demons or spirits. Referring to them as demons or spirits, that's a whole other sort of question in and of itself.
Bob, this goes back to the Keys of Solomon. It's what he's trying to get to. So save a whole lot of sidestepping. It's Solomon's realm, which is not demonic at all.
Solomon was the expert in conjuring?
Solomon was a god.
Did he conjure?
Yes, but what they're trying to say here is they're turning this into something else, like the lesser key of Solomon, and that doesn't apply. But that's what he's trying to go to. Well,
so, yes, there's a book called the Galatia, and in it there are 72 demons or spirits. They have been bound by the angelic hierarchy, you could say, to do the bidding of man. They are on sort of probation. This is sort of their work release program.
The grimoire is what you're trying to explain, yes?
Yes.
Oh, imagine that. See, now you got that isn't even a timed event, 17th century, blah, blah, blah. It's the stuff Aleister Crowley tried to undo from the Madge, you know, Madge that used to suck your hands in palm olive.
So Aleister Crowley worked with these demons?
No, he edited this book.
And what you do is you pick the one that you want to work with out of the 72, and you go through this complex ritual. You call upon them, and then once they are made manifest and you are communicating with them, you talk to them about what you want. Then you offer something to them as an exchange. And there's been some very uncanny results told about people who've done this. I've been doing it for my script. Thought this would be a good place to explore it with Ion and Bob around.
Okay. Well, why wouldn't you just take your power and be a god and do it that way? Why are you messing with demons?
Well, I figure that since I am a god, that a demon shouldn't be that big of a deal.
It's not. But you're not even enough a god to make a demon do for you. If you can't make yourself come, what makes you think the devil can?
Okay, now we're back to the devil. Can you describe demons and, I don't know, I mean, I hear all very negative things about it.
It's not negative, darling. It's not negative. It's just borrowed. It's borrowed. Pornography is borrowed. Pornography is not coitus.
Right.
Okay?
So this is one path people can go.
He's dabbling in this thing because he's not able to do it. Okay? And people, when they're uncannily being able to do that. But if you can drive Aleister Crowley's lower earth, then you don't require anything. You're already in your place of power, and you don't require those damn demons. So, damned or otherwise, you win. Then, uncannily, you get what you want, when you want, the way you want it. We would never be so verbose to tell tales out of school, but J.W. is very good at that. He has no issue with that. It's a very easy, simple process. His only problem is deciding what fun thing to please and delight himself with lately is. Because they're fleeting. Dr. Dean says it best, let's do so-and-so. And then she says, oh, but if we do, then what? Okay, let's wait. We'll do that soon.
I wanted to ask Ion about cymatics, studying how sound affects matter. But we know that sound also creates matter. I would like to know the way in which sound creates matter.
Okay. The reverberation does not go out void. So therefore, if sound does not go out void, then it is.
And is it like in this piece of Paulina Oliveira we were talking about, with Bob, she uses range of frequencies that are out of hearing range, like very high and very low.
Before you go that far, if you compare the transient verb and the noun, here's what ends up happening. Sound is transmitted, a vibration.
Mm-hmm.
Travels through air or any other medium. and it reaches the ear of a god that creates matter. Convey a specific impression if heard. He sounded worried. Now, when you go a little bit further, then you go to mechanical radiant energy. This is by longitudinal pressure waves. Now, when you arrive there, once those vibrations land, that's how matter is created.
Is all matter created like that? Through waves?
Yes. Everything within 20 to 20,000 hertz. All sounds in the range of 20 to 20,000 hertz create matter. Everything else does not.
And a god has to hear it.
Correct. Or it will be lingering.
If you say it to yourself, it still gets created?
If you are a god, it does.
Are all types of sounds creative or only words?
No, the all sounds that are heard by God do.
So any type of music would also have a reaction in the physical?
Yeah. Bob, you got it queued up, your new single on your album? Bob's got a new song. He'll give you a little touch of it. Come on, Bob, get right. Yeah.
They talk about a hot nigga. My dogs are sitting rock, nigga. Fuck the chest, we never got, nigga. Who the fuck to bring that limo on the block, nigga? Popping aces in the studio and robbing them. Before all the labels started coming, never heard. Cause bitch, I understand them cause I'm one of them. I am. So I know you hang on me if you hang on them. Maybe shoot us as a week off, we off. Made a million out of glass, y'all. Cocaine, I got dope balls, dope balls. My niggas knew they just caught a gun charge. Hey, fuck it off, we gon' ride strap, bitch. You can back that beat, fuck that rap shit. And free my nigga Meek, I'm on my Billy shit. And my New York bitch from Dyke, she been mean again. They call me Kasha Pat, I got so many wills. Nigga, plug, I took so many trips. Oh, Reggie Jones, I got some stupid clips. I run with Taliban, that's how my niggas live. Isn't that just the standard? That's enough, Bob. Don't go any further to give it all away.
So you found that a significant expression of music?
Of course. It was sound. It was sound. It was free from defect, decay, or damage, in good condition. It was having a firm basis, unshakable, a sound foundation. It was based on valid reasoning, a sound observation, or valid. See, Bob just gave you a little snippet of it, and it was all we could do to get him to share it. You know how selfish Bob is. He wants to keep everything for himself. So we had to share a little bit of it. That was his favorite artist, Yo Gotti, of course, but however delicious. This is just a little taste of the essence of creation by a sound. Now, those sounds resonate, and if they're heard by God, they're the essence of creation. Everyone that's on the call right now, report to Bob if you've ever listened to Yo Gotti before we said, listen to Yo Gotti.
No.
No, thank you. Now, have any of you listened to Yo Gotti since?
Yes.
Okay. okay? And you couldn't stand it. It was ridiculous, inappropriate in every way. And what is this ridiculous moaning, cattling, hauling, crazy shit? And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, it's fun.
And that song created matter?
It does.
It creates a different kind of matter, mortar, than other sounds?
Oh, Lord, suffering cats, don't say mortar. Bob will have a little hissy fit. That'll go in tears. Don't do that.
Is there any way in which we can amplify or make our word power stronger to create?
Yes. Define the position. Be specific. Dr. Dean is the best one on the planet at doing that. She's very precise with what she says. She only says the things she wants. And if something comes along that she doesn't want, that's called contrast. Even the bad things that happen to Dr. Dean, she uses to her advantage. When you go after Dr. Dean, she turns it around and makes it to her advantage every time, without better exception. Until she's done, and then she probably either have you or have J.W. smoke them.
It's not important only what you say, but also what you hear, what you hear from other creators?
No. What you hear from other creators doesn't mean anything. Bob's new song, Nigger Want It, that doesn't hurt you. And if you enjoy it, you may embrace it, but you certainly don't have to. And if you never listen to it again, you probably will. But if you never listen to it again, you can't help but it. If you never listen to it again, I don't know how you'd want to live your life without Nigger Want It. That's going to be a great song, great tune. Paula Dean is a great supporter of Bob's work, for sure, in her new network. She's a little more pristine in how she chooses her vernacular, of course. But that's another conversation in itself now, isn't it? So we're trying to get past the bias of that word part, the bias that says, oh, that's taboo, that's not what you're supposed to do. Forget all that crap. If homosexuals can get married in this country right now, you should be able to say any word under the sun, and you do.
I was wondering, because sometimes we do things and we feel bad about that.
There is no bad, but you can feel bad.
Feeling.
There is no bad. You take your position and gauge where you are based on that feeling. That layer of emotion is the trouble. Get past an emotion, then it doesn't matter. When it doesn't matter, it's antimatter. Then it's just a matter of it doesn't please me, so get it till it does. I don't hate this, I just don't care for it. So let's take a picture. You're going to have a photo done. They take a picture of it, and they do it. Your creator, you told them what you wanted, they took the picture, you look at it, and it looks like crap. The light's all wrong, the fuse's all wrong, the side of you is all wrong, your face is crooked, you're not level, you know, you look like you're drunk or stoned or something. You're kind of going, what in the world? What happened? I got all dolled up for this. That is this, the photograph, the image of my image captured. How is this possible? Then you take that and you adjust it. Say, okay, now you have a bias. I want it this way. I want my dress on straight. I want my levels right. I want the light perfect. I want it diffused. I don't want to see your face in the reflection of my glasses. I don't want to see that. I want to see it just glorious of me. That's not a bad thing. That's what you use to adjust it, to make it perfect. Then when it suits you, that's when you choose it. That's when you agree. That's when you embrace it. Then that becomes the one, the proof. That's the proof. A photo is a proof. But it's not a bad thing. All those problems aren't a bad thing. It's what you choose to make the adjustment. Interesting how that's always in your past. So you're constantly trying to change the past recorded imagery that is you. It's how a picture's worth a thousand words because it's already done.
Ion, you've talked a lot about physical and non-physical. What's your working definition of physical? Can you describe what you mean by physical?
Well, that's challenging because there's soon going to be no physical. It depends on how disambiguous you want to be.
You think animals are non-physical.
They're beasts.
You're making a differentiation there, saying they're not physical, though, being a non-physical. So when you say we're not going to be physical anymore, is it going to be more like that?
Give us a definition.
A physical?
Yeah.
I would say...
Let's see if that will help you.
I always thought, before listening to you, that the body's physical, animals are physical, anything I can touch and feel is physical.
No. What is it? It's of or relating to the body as distinguished from the mind or spirit.
Okay, I was thinking the body is like, that's what you meant by physical. But then I got confused when you talk about animals, beasts.
The definition
physical.
Of physical is of or relating to the body as distinguished from the mind or spirit. Beasts are non-physical. They don't have a spirit.
We're moving toward non-physical, which has no spirit, I am?
Perfect.
We're not going to have a spirit?
Hey, are you going to stay up with that point? Moving to non-physical means that you give up spirit. Animals are non-physical. They don't have spirit. And we're moving to non-physical, dropping to physical, so we're moving to non-spirit. What's that mean?
I don't agree with that.
Ian said perfect statement.
Well, if it's not spirit, it's not physical, but it's spirit.
We're not going to be physical, we're not going to be spirit. I've seen photographs with animals recently where as soon as the animal dies, they caught something on film leaving it. What was that?
That was non-physical.
And the definition of non-physical is?
Non-physical.
We always thought spirit was non-physical and physical is body.
Well, but they're not. Because, see, that's the trouble. Then you're going to bring the soul into it. You're going to say the soul is the spirit. And the soul is just the stenographer that's keeping up with it. Now, if you're going to go all that way around the mountain, that's perfectly fine. So now we would like you to give us a definition of spirit.
It's the essence of who we are. It's the everlasting, the thing that never dies.
Spirit is, it means breath.
Ion, if it's not the spirit or our soul, which part of us is it that wants to listen to you?
None of it. You don't want to listen to it. You don't want to get it. You don't. The reason you're just drawn to it is because you can't stand it. The reason you can't stand it is because you don't want to be less than. But you chose to be less than because you have to be less than, because that's how you prove you're more than. Because if you're more than long enough, then less than has kicked in. You're so powerful. You're so absolutely, completely powerful that you do not want to engage us. You do not want to be a part of us. But you just can't stand it because it brings you back to your place as God. You want everything under the sun, but you want to be eliminated from it so you can't have it. And then once you figure out how to have it, then you don't want it. If the money don't come in rubber bands, I want it. Yo, Gotti. That's the point. And when you can have everything, then you don't require anything. Ask Dr. Dean.
Ask Bob. Dr. Dean ain't listening. Ask Bob.
When you can have anything, you don't want anything.
When you can have everything, you don't require anything.
That's why people go on welfare. They got everything, so they don't want to work for anything.
They have nothing. I mean, they're kept in a less than place, but getting that
silly
amount.
Probably half the people coming back to the guff go on welfare. How else could they function?
That's a happy place?
Yep.
There's a lot of ways to be on welfare.
The Americans are overemployed because they're watching TV and sitting on welfare.
Yeah. They live like ERA. They garden in their little corner of their crummy kitchen. They grow a plant. Dave Worcester is the role model for that. He lives in this little room forever. He's known it for 50 years. Just lives in this little room.
You're speaking about the mushroom.
I always kept in the dark and fed a bunch of shit, Bob.
I just want to summarize what I got out of this, or what we may have got out of this. Spirit is breath.
Yes. Spirit does. Latin, spiritus. Spiritus is non-corporeal.
Okay, and then physical is relating to the
corporeal.
Body.
Corporeal. Material body.
And we're going to soon be giving up the physical.
And the soul overlaps both.
I thought the soul had no role.
It doesn't, but it overlaps the both. It's the stenographer.
So then the non-physical is spirit.
Yeah, like Holy Spirit.
And that's different from spiritus or breath?
Not always.
When we merge with non-physical, when we lose our spirit, is it because we no longer need to breathe?
That's correct. Very good. That's not been said before, Bob. You would like a working excuse to not require oxygen because everything has told you you must have air. Well, you have air, but then they say that's oxygen. Well, now we say you don't need oxygen. No, no, we must have oxygen. They put us on the...
Line muted. Line unmuted.
Whoa, we got to have oxygen. When we cut ourselves, we put hydrogen peroxide on it. We got to have that. We got to have peroxide. H2O2, we got to have it, got to have it, got to have it, got to have it. So what it is, the fire goes, and it can't have fire without oxygen. We'd freeze to death. We got to have it. Oh, that's what burns. That's what feeds the fire. That's what sparks the flame. That's what gets the carbon. Carbon? There's carbon. And that turns back into calor. And the calor turns into calorie. And the calorie turns into a heat exchange. And that is required as sugar. Sugar, 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 sugar. Sugar, shack, shabby.
And then just to take it a little further with breath, that means you're breathing oxygen, which is...
No, you're not breathing
oxidation. Well, when you're breathing...
Not anymore.
Now,
not anymore.
Before.
You don't breathe. You only exhale.
But the whole thing with oxygen is that you oxidize yourself. And that is
well,
the ramification
that's correct.
Of time.
That's the rusty part. That's why you have to take a bath when you get rusty. That's why you put surfactants in the things that softens it and releases those things that would be clung because of an oxygen-based calcium lime or some other derivative of oxidation.
And that's a false premise because it's time.
Not time. It is an accumulation of an oxidizer, not time. So you take chlorine bleach and a load of clothes and eat the clothes completely up in a very short window of time. But one load and one dose of bleach in a laundry makes your clothes white, white, white. That same bleach will dissolve the clothes. Electricity and cook your supper and also cook you.
Oxidation rots food, so that's a passage of time because it does that.
But the oxidation process doesn't have anything to do with time. Nothing to do with time. Not a timed event. You may watch something occur, but speedy or fasty by the amount of bleach you put in it is how quickly it reacts, but it has nothing to do with the time. It's like fire. How long you stay in the fire doesn't have anything to do with how much you're consumed. It's how hot the flame is. 5,000 degree Kelvin, and you don't last long. Get a Zippo lighter, and you could take it a few minutes. The process is the same. It's just how clear, slowly, is relative. That doesn't engage in the conversation. Same way with oxidation. Aikido.
You asked us to merge with the non-physical.
Yes.
Do you still want us to merge with the non-physical to stop breathing?
If you'd like to, it'll be the most euphoric thing you've experienced so far.
What is the best method for us? Or do you have any clues for us for that?
First of all, you're doing marvelous things. You're taking your RNA drops, yes?
Yes.
You're embracing your non-physical.
Though I got a bit shocked that you told me not to speak to the nature spirits any longer.
That's exactly correct, because you're taunting them. and you're not quite to the stage to overtake them, and we didn't want you to get sideways with it. We actually are monitoring you.
Thank you, or what should I say? Yeah.
Happily. Yeah, no, it's beautiful, though, so you don't get sideways. Because what happens is you get gung-ho on something, and you'll go overboard, and we don't want you to get overboard until you catch up, because it'll be too much. It's like color. When you get a color you like, the next thing you know, you have too much of it. Have you noticed that?
Yes, I have. So
well, we
are
don't
you
want
telling
you to get
me
too
I have too many plants now?
We don't want to say that. It's not about the number. Any more than it is about time. It's not about the number. It's about the capacity. If your life was based on those plants, then we'd say get rid of them all. If it was that serious, we would kill every single one of them. Nothing would live in your presence. Nothing. We would see to it. But instead, what happens, the lovingly wonderful growing things love to be around you. You don't love the plants love you.
Yes, I know that is a relationship, and I'm trying to get around to help them better on their way, to make our understanding better, or whatever it can
prune
describe. Prune them, okay?
Do you love them? If you want to have a better understanding, prune them.
Can we go back to, I think it was Jean asking about seeds the other day.
Wait a minute, don't you want to finish merging with non-physical? First,
yeah,
take your
yeah,
arm and
yes,
drop. Two,
yes.
Embrace non-physical. Three, what's three?
Allow it to come into your experience.
Oh.
Come on, y'all.
I forgot.
Good
yeah,
Lord, suffering cat.
You've told us very clearly that there are angels and we should talk to them, or we can at least be taught to speak to the angels. And then you start to wonder, what are all the other creatures out there that might help us or not help us if we talk to them? Should we try to engage them?
Just a second. We have a little support for you. Dr. Neen, we're talking about speaking to things, all things. You're the queen of this because you only speak for what you want. And we adore that about you because you're so good at it. And if there's something you don't like, you adjust it very quickly by your candor and your words. But sometimes you use those contrasts to find out what it is that you like or don't like best about that experience. Now, she's asking specifically about speaking to other things like situation ethics, dynamics that come across here and there, or maybe dealing with medical things, or maybe dealing with memes and how you portray memes, or new chemicals of electricity, or dealing with oxygen, or different dynamics that all of a sudden you have feel compelled to catch the world up regarding. And then what happens after about a second or so, you find yourself having to speak to things. Can you give us a working example? Anyone will do. Doesn't have to be a serious one. We have some nice ones, but we have to save ours. Of your words affecting the affected equation of creation.
Well, I do not engage other things. I think that can be kind of a trap, like how many things to engage? Do I engage this one, that one? I just keep to what I want, and if there are things around me that want to regard what I want as something that they want, then they can go ahead and do it. I think I just stay within what I want, and if they want to help me, that's fine. I don't go out
and
solicit.
Okay, perfect. Here's what Carolyn just said. She doesn't speak to her orchids. Her orchids bloom because she's there. She doesn't tell her orchids to bloom. Her orchids are absolutely the most glorious probably in the world. And she doesn't speak to her orchids. Her orchids are for her pleasure, not the other way around. And she might spritz them with a little something, 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 but that's just because it's her pleasure, not because she's moved. Those orchids don't run her. That's the part that we're talking about, speaking to things. She's asking to speak to things.
things or not. And when you say do not speak to things, you don't only speak to the things. And Carolyn's saying that she doesn't go there because it's a trap. And we're saying, and yet you still have all those essences of creation on your walk. When you take your walk, everything is glorious. Some of those flowers bloom because you're out there. Not everyone has the same glorious walk, as you well know, because you'll talk about how wonderful it is, and they go, ooh, it's kind of barren, it's a little dry. And when you were on the walk, it wasn't that way, but it came to you, not the other way around.
When I walk with people, people walk looking down at the ground. I ask them if I can do this, and I say, well, look at this, and look at that. They aren't even looking, so how can they see?
Correct. So you don't have to speak to things. You can, and you absolutely can. You can call it forth. There's no contest. But when you call it forth, you can't vet that it's there. So if you call Bob downstairs, you can't complain when he gets there.
But I do.
There you go. But see, that's the thing you speak to that comes.
Yeah.
Now, if he comes to the place and it answers a question and it's appropriate and it's right and good, wonderful. But that's not what she's saying. She's saying, is there limitation or a quantitative persona in the asking or speaking of things? And we say, only the things that you desire. Now, let's take something negative, and we'll make something disambiguous so it won't make any difference. But let's say something negative that you would be tempted to speak to. Do you have any practical working advice for how you handle those type of situations?
You generally ignore. You evade. You evade. I see this
evade.
And it works for you. You do not confront people.
I defriend them or drop them off my newsletter.
That's chip body. That's your chip body. Chip body ethics.
Because once you start engaging the negative, you just give it more powers. We learned that long ago. And the Servants of Awareness stuff talked about resist, not evil. And that made a lot of sense. That would be my game plan.
So are you saying love them to death?
No.
Okay. So we're trying to bring something practical here, and that's why we chose you, because they listen to you. That's the whole point. You're real, and you don't even fall into us, meaning you'll go toe-to-toe with us. You're one of the few that do, but you can go toe-to-toe with us. We don't yield very well, but we still allow it to plow, obviously. Here's the issue. When you have the sweet by and by, everybody's got that worked out. Y'all are going to die. You're going to die. You're going to fall away from this little man state. We can promise you without fail or exception, if you don't ascend, you are one way or the other. We're just saying there might be an easier way, and this is it. Now, do with that what you want to do. Do what you do. Do what you do. It's going to do what it's going to do. Ain't no reason to tell a lie. A lie will tell itself.
You said this. Is that Iondim is the way?
To.
But what does Iondim advocate?
1, 2, 3, 2, 1.
Come into your place of power.
Yeah, how do you do that? People want methods.
You take RNA drops, you listen to Ion, and then you allow yourself to be as expanded or expansive as you want or as you can handle. You can stay.
Well, what are some methods? Do you recommend any methods, Ion?
Mass murder isn't on the top of the list, but it's certainly liberating. Don't make rules. Don't be the rule guardian. Don't be the goalie. Don't be the goalie of life. Because all you get is shot at all the time. Don't be the goalie of life. In hockey, the goalie is not the guy you want to be.
The goalie of life?
Yes.
Yeah, in hockey metaphor now.
Okay.
And you get shot at all the time.
How you know that, Khalifia. You just try to get involved. Yeah. Like, I got to mute you, Khalifia. The goalie of life. let a noise. Oh, my God.
I'm going to be polite. I got to correct y'all. I'm listening to the Emerald Tablets, taking my bath, you know. I hear you guys start talking about Lilith. I said, well, ain't Lilith a
She was a necromancer. She could make them vampires come to her will. She made them vampires.
I know.
So that's exactly the same one. You're welcome. We laid that little, that Sookie Stackhouse, she got all on that shit, didn't she? She got all zapped up. Them little, that little coven and them little heifers got in there. They're blowing along there. And then not to mention that she even had the big old moose come through that whole thing that would pull all, even the council, the vampire council, that even called them into query.
Mm-hmm.
Made it so.
Bob and Kelly evoked all of this through this whatever.
Through what? Through food? That was Adam.
Lilith
was Adam.
Another movie off of you, True Blood. Lord have mercy. I didn't know that. I said, Lilith, the first time I ever heard of Lilith was in True Blood. Now I'm here, Lilith again. She's a necromancer. She done slept with Adam. Lord have mercy.
That was Adam's first wife.
Yeah, I know. Did we mention Lilith? Khalid,
in the Emerald Tablet. Yeah.
In the sixth one.
So you're shocked about Lilith being mentioned?
I was shocked about Lilith. I was taking my bath and I said, Lilith.
Why? Well, why are you shocked about Lilith?
She never heard it before Bible. And this is where Ginny's going to have to do some teaching on you when she interviews you, because she knows all about Lilith.
No, I never heard of no Lilith. I heard of
Okay,
Lilith.
So that's what you're screaming about. Yes, so you learned something, Alicia. It's shocking that you learned something you've never heard of, and we must hear the screaming about it for 2 minutes. Okay, good.
You're taking a bath in water. You put soap in the bubble bath in the water to quiet the oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to change, soften the water so that the oxygen is a less buffering on your skin. You think it's for hydration, but that's not from the oxygen. Oxygen dries.
Mm-hmm.
Have we finished interrogating Carol and claiming she's some kind of model or something?
No, never. She is the model. She's the poster child for you.
She's my poster child?
She's the world's tallest midget.
Like my teenage poster in my teenage room.
But that's for everybody, though. That's not just for Dr. Dean. Carolyn's words are reserved for the things she desires. The only issue we have with the whole thing is this positive-negative position. We don't recognize the positive or negative. We recognize the flow. Because all this positive turns negative and negative turns positive, and you can't keep up with it. It's too hard. So this positive energy, and sometimes people say, don't be negative. And we go, oh, no, we're positive. Y'all are fucked. We're positive. You get sideways with this positive, negative, plusy, plusy, minus, minus stuff. So we take exception to that. But minus that, that's not really what she's saying anyway. She's just using those words so that the stupid people can figure it out. Because she's very kind and simple and generous with them, and it's very, very deprecating of her. But past that, what happens is it's a simple way to gauge. Now, beyond that, what happens is minus the plusy, minus the positive, negative, she only speaks to the things that she wants, and it's working. And that's good, except for that other stuff.
What's Khalifia doing? Is she speaking of what she wants?
Certainly, but she's always done that. She's kind of...
What's that?
You're putting Karen up there as a standard. Let's mark everybody. So how is Eliza compared to Carolyn? In what Carolyn does Eliza do it, or does she not require to do it? Like, what's the relevance?
No. Carolyn tries to help everyone so that they can be fuller and happier and more pleased. If you're not fuller, happier, or pleased, Dr. Dean doesn't care. She doesn't get all emotional about it. She wants all your dreams to come true, just not at the expense of her own.
But how's Eliza doing compared to that, what Carolyn does?
That's where Carolyn wouldn't do that. She wouldn't complain.
Right. See, so we're talking about Carolyn, and it has nothing to do with anybody else.
Right, of course.
Right, so let's stop talking about Carolyn. Let's talk about something that has something to do with everybody else.
Oh, no,
yeah, let's talk about Bob.
Yeah, I have something to do with everybody. I am relevant. Carolyn's not relevant.
Bob,
Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, Bob, B
y'all can divide Bob when we're gold. That'll be all the best in a little bit.
Let me tell you what he did. You remember when I first got back in contact with you, I told you guys I started talking with you, and I couldn't find the phone. 2 days before you show up in L.A., I find the phone. Now, I tore up the house that week of looking for the phone. The place that I looked, the phone was not there. Now, all of a sudden, the phone is there. I says, okay. And then some other things that I think I told Carol a little bit. I said, you know, my lights in the house and stuff keep on coming on and off and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I said, okay, cool, okay. No problem. And then Ion mentions, oh, she's just moving back and forth. Well, I got a real strong confirmation that I was moving. I woke up in the morning. I had my little smoothie that I told Carol that I make for Henry and myself. I woke up, first thing I looked, I says, oh, okay, my glass. And the glass was not there. And I says, okay. So I, you know, was in my room and moving around. And then I went into the hallway. And I weighed myself and I come back in the room and the glass is there. And I says, now, I know that the glass was not there. I'm not dreaming. I didn't go back to sleep. And then I went to the storage place that same day, and I had this videotape that I wanted Henry to see with a comedy. And I said, okay, I know that I had this particular tape. I looked through the tapes, and I put them in a certain place. I said, okay, let me go in the storage and look for it. I went to the storage, looked for it, didn't find it, come back to the house, there the tape is. I says, okay, in the place that I said it was. So I tell Henry, if you put some money down over here, what's going on in this house, do not blame me if something come up missing, because, you know, stuff is disappearing in this house and coming up later. I said, that happened with the phone, the glass, the tape, all of these. I says, I know that they're in the house, so I know that I'm moving in different places, so, you know, because I have to do a lot of centering myself when I go places now. So I'm like, okay. So, Ion, I know what you're talking about. I am moving.
It is a callable margin.
A callable margin.
Well, Ion, explain that callable margin.
If you have a position that you know is sure, and in a certain climate, it's not, that gives you a good chance. For example, hey, Henry, if you lay your money down here, don't blame me if it comes up missing. Don't fuss for me if it shows up later.
We redid that one time, and I said, you know, stuff happens.
So things that happen to you, that's, I don't know, that's Califia's story. And we heard about Carol, and that doesn't compare to anybody. Califia doesn't compare to anybody. Is there anything that anybody can be compared with, Ion?
You.
If I can hear that. Bob is mortar.
Chaos.
Control.
Bob, who would you compare yourself to?
Carolyn. I constantly compare myself to Carol. And I'm doing very well in my comparison to her. I think she's in second place. I think I'm ahead of her in my comparisons to her. I think she's deficient in many areas, but I'm not. That's why I'm the standard for mortar. Carol's still working out her own destiny, all by herself, just talking to herself, trying to make nothing. I don't know what she's trying to make, but she's doing stuff, right?
So, Bob, what you're trying to tell Califia, without fail or exception, is that the third Friday of December is our quadruple witching hour.
Ion, are you telling just Califia or everybody else about the quadruple witching hour?
Witching comes from the fact that in the past, the expiration of futures and options contracts occurred not only on the same day, but at the same time. It often results in a greater than normal market volatility.
Are you telling just Califia this, or they want to know if this applies to other people?
Well, that's up to them. She's the only one that's asked.
So it's only for Kalitha.
Yeah, because she's the one that's made all the money on it. And if you ask her, she'll deny it so the cows come home. But we know better.
Kalitha lives in poverty. She didn't make any bloody money. This is a rude, browbeat Kalitha with. Kalitha goes along with it.
Of course. How wonderful. How wonderful. She's blissfully so. So it's a good day.
Kalitha, have you made a lot of money from Iandom?
You don't have to answer that.
Yeah, you can't. You can't. You didn't make fucking nothing.
Don't have to. No. Here's what you say. Sugar love is none of your goddamn business. That's how you
Yeah, we know that line. Okay, Susan, you were asking, does the witching hour apply to you?
I want to know, what's my witching hour?
It's the same third Friday in September and December.
It's now September as well as December.
No. It comes at different times. Four times a year.
September and December.
Yeah, the third Friday. Freaky Friday.
Oh, Freaky Friday. That's somebody practicing piano there.
Well, they're a little out of tune.
Is that you?
No.
Or a little honky-tonk? No.
E-flat, honey, E-flat.
Hey, Ian, we got some parallel worlding people here, right? Some of this noise is coming from parallel worlds. I can't find who's doing it.
Sometimes.